Thank you, Cameron. Let me pray.
Thanks.
Father, thank you for your grace shown to Tom. Thank you, Father, for saving him, for calling him to full-time gospel ministry. And thank you for this new season for him and Josie and the kids. We're excited for them. We're excited for church family at Wickham. We do pray, Father, that you would take what he has learned and use it for the sake of the benefit of others and the cause of the gospel. And we pray, Father, we plunder all that he's learned and help us to think through how we can use courses effectively in our context, where that's appropriate, to help people encounter the Lord Jesus so they might put their faith in him. Father, thank you that we're amongst friends. Thank you that we can talk about these things. Please help Tom to feel at ease and to give us his best. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think this is going to be best. It's going to be quite informal the way we kind of go about the next 45 minutes.
We don't do formality here.
I figured that just 45 minutes. But probably what I'll do is I'll just talk for 20 minutes or so, and then we'll chat and we'll go from there. Also, does anybody work for Christian Explorers? Have any direct affiliation? Good. We'll talk a bit about that and those ministries. And caveat being, Rico's a friend, and I think their ministry is great. So just a word to say. Just a bit on the kind of background then for Dundonald. I'm not going to go into this in detail because I've talked at length about the kind of philosophy of ministry in evangelism at Dundonald in other places. So you can go and find that elsewhere. But we think about the ministry of evangelism at Dundonald under these two streams, which is come and see and go and tell. So we're thinking all the time is what are we doing to invite our local community to come and see something of Jesus, and how are we equipping our church family to go and tell the gospel? So we want to be thinking in those two things the whole time. Where are we going quiet in one? Where are we, do we need to up the volume in another? And I think the background to that is coming in 5 years ago, Dundonald historically has been strong at the kind of come and see based stuff. So all the stuff that Pope was just talking about with that kind of event-based ministry at a well-resourced church as Dundonald now is, that it's easy to kind of facilitate that kind of stuff all the time. But the danger is that if you go strong on that all the time, then the church just assume that that's what evangelism means. So, as long as we've run 15 events this term and another Christian Explorers course to do an evangelism. And we just wanted to try and redress that balance. So in the first couple of years, we just went a lot quieter on the come see stuff and we did a lot more on trying to equip our church family to go and tell. Pete was done a load on door knocking, which he'll talk about at another point, I'm sure. And that's what we tried to turn the temperature up on. And I think just to encourage you, and again, this is another seminar, but to encourage you to think about evangelism in that kind of twin track aspect for your ministry, the danger would be that you just think about it as, well, as long as I run this event and run this course, then we've kind of ticked the box for this term. But thinking about, okay, yes, that, but also I want to be equipping my church family to do the work of going to tell as well, because that both feed the other. If you've got a strong go and tell emphasis, then that's going to feed and encourage people to come and see something of Jesus. And likewise, if you've got a load of stuff for people to come and see, then that will encourage others to develop what we're going to tell them. So both those two things are important. That's another session. Just on this then, as we kind of lean and thinking about courses, the best books to read in evangelism, culture in the local churches, J. Max Stiles' little red book in the 9 Mark series called Evangelism, How the Whole Church Speaks of Jesus. So if you've not read that, I'd encourage you to read that, as I would encourage you to read the whole series of that. 9 Mark's little books, I think they're great. But that particular one on evangelism, pithy, to the point, I think particularly if I was going to plant a church, like that would just give you the framework of thinking, how can I have a healthy evangelistic culture in my church? So read that. In it, he says this, I've got this a number of times, we seem to have an insatiable hunger for programs to accomplish evangelism. Why? Programs like sugar, it's tasty, even addictive, but a strict diet of evangelistic programs produces malnourished evangelism. Programs can often make us feel as if we've done evangelism when we have, so we should use them strategically, but in moderation. So this is kind of like the counterbalance to everything folks were just doing in that session, which is yes and amen to having that kind of tiered structure and how you're thinking about doing your events and evangelistic programs. But if you're solely reliant on them to do your evangelism, then you're going to have a malnourished diet within the culture of your church. And I think that this is probably true of courses too. When we think about running evangelistic courses, that we just think, well, as long as we just run a course, doesn't remember what it is, run a course, and we've just kind of got that stuck in the diary, then we're just sort of doing it and it doesn't really matter. And I wonder whether churches can sort of slip into that mentality of thinking, oh, we've got to have run Christianity Explored this term, otherwise we're not doing evangelism properly. And I think, you know, maybe it's a bit too critical like that, but I think Dundonald would have probably got to that point to an extent 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember when I joined the team, one of the senior staff then just saying to me, like, I think we're at this point where we just sort of run Christianity Explored because we feel like we have to, but we're only getting 3 or 4 people come along. It's the same old local people who kind of come along for the spark and elderflower, and there's not really much traction there. We just kind of do it. And I wonder whether we can slip into that thinking about courses. And we feel like we're doing evangelism because we've got Christianity Explored in the calendar in November and in March and in June. And so we pat ourselves on the back and we think, well, job well done for evangelism this year, but we're not actually seeing people through the door. We're not actually seeing fruit as a result of it. So I think reflecting on it from at Dundonald, we found that approach needed a bit of a shake-up. And so let me just walk you through a kind of brief history of courses at Dundonald, right? And as I said, Pete, you could have given this session, mate, but fill in where I'm missing stuff. We're going from 2017 to present day. Okay, so 2017, 2018, we decided, having run CE every term for goodness knows how long, we took a whole year off from doing courses. So we didn't actually run Christianity Explored centrally at all for a whole year, which to some people was surprising, to say the least. And I think there were some initial kind of, there's a bit of initial pushback thinking, we just dropped the ball here. Like, why are we not running these courses? But the reason was we were just trying to shift the culture a bit away from everything has to be done centrally. We have to kind of do this staff resourcing courses, and we wanted to try and equip people in their local homes to be able to do the work of going and telling the gospel. So we pushed pause on courses for that year. What we did do, though, we didn't throw C in the bin. Like, we tried to make those resources accessible and available for anybody to do. So we just bought up a bunch of handbooks and the little kind of C books you can get, and we just stuck them in the bookstall. And I think I did a pitch one Sunday and said, look, these are there for you to use. So if you've got non-Christian friends who are interested in talking about Jesus, then take this material, you can be free, and go and do it with them. And off the back of that, we probably saw a handful of little C one-to-ones or twos and threes get going. I would say the numbers would have been about the same as if we'd done a central course. So it wasn't any huge shift numerically, but it just helped to shift the culture away from, we can only do evangelism when it's run by the senior pastor in the church building, to actually, I could do this around the dining table with a mate. I can watch the little video of Rico doing the talk on the phone, and then I can do the book. So we're just trying to resource that. We also went really big that year on one-to-one. So similarly, again, we're just trying to get away from the everything has to be in a big round table with a group leader, type vibe. So we produce, I mean, you'll have heard me talk about these before, but we produce these little booklets, Better Hero to start with, 4 sessions in Mark's Gospel. A couple of years later, we did A Better Life, 4 little conversations that was in John's Gospel. And then just this last year, we did A Better Hope, which is 4 conversations that was in Matthew's Gospel. I mean, these are really simple, really cheap to print and produce. And we have these out at church for people to pick up for free whenever they want. And it's just trying to encourage a culture of, I can just take these and have a conversation with my mate about Jesus. And we don't have to wait for the next course in order to get them into the Bible. So this is a sort of course light chat with my mate. So it's the kind of precursor to doing something like C, I guess, in many ways. So we went really big on those. We can talk about those a bit later if you want to know more about those particular booklets. That was 2017, 2018. As I said, I think probably there was a bit of pushback to start with from some people who've been at Dundonald for a long time and who were just used to the rhythm of Christianity Explored regularly. To not have it, but I think we tried to encourage them as to our reasons why. That was that year, 2018, 2019, we had a year off, another year off. Oh, sorry, having had a year off from courses, that's right. We then did Life Explored. So we thought we'd just kind of try and revisit doing something centrally. I think that was a bit of a car crash, if I'm honest with you. Looking back on it, maybe that's too strong. Were you there?
Yeah, well, I was like Sally Smith first joined.
I know, I've got as a point here that amazingly someone actually came to faith, but I thought, okay, well, not just in terms of content, Pete, I just also mean in terms of, I think lessons were learned from doing it like that, both in terms of the content, which I'll talk a bit about later, but also in terms of the setting and the forum. It was in a like room at the back of the church. You had to walk through the kind of back end of the factory to try and get there. It was a bit kind of tucked away in the back end. The structure wasn't quite right. I hadn't quite worked out how we were going to do it beforehand in terms of groups and how that was going to be managed. So it was a learning curve for me, I think, doing Life Explore like that. I personally didn't love the content, and I'll say more on that in a minute. So I think it just having paused courses for a year and then relaunching the Life Explore in that particular venue, it kind of made me think, oh, why are we doing this? You know, there must be a better way to do this. That being said, as Pete's rightly said, someone cares better. So we're going to go for that. But I don't think that detracts from what I thought we necessarily got wrong. So that was 2018-19. That was all we did that year, I think. Because again, we were really trying to go big on this kind of go and tell what's on. 2019-2020, then, I think we got, having run Life Explores, there is, Okay. What they're trying to do with it compared to CE, if CE is like quite far down the track for somebody who's never, you know, who wants to seriously engage with the claims of Jesus, Life Explored is meant to be the kind of on-ramp to that. Dealing with some of the kind of bigger meta questions of, you know, what am I doing in life? Where do I find joy? That kind of thing. So I think it asks some of the right questions, but I mean, they spent over $1 million on the videos. And if you've seen the videos, then they are mind-blowingly good. It's like a feature film, but they're kind of confusing. And I think they're quite abstract. So unless you are particularly artsy and understand the sort of nuance of these films and fit them with the talk, then I think it can go over your head a bit. So that was our issue with that. And so I didn't want to run it again, but I knew we needed something to be as an on-ramp for C, because Christianity Explored is really good, but it's way beyond where most people are at in terms of asking the big questions. So we were finding we'd run like a pub quiz or, you know, the sort of things you were talking about earlier. And if you then plug Christianity Explored at the end of it, it's such a big jump. Like people are cruising along in second gear at the pub quiz. And then you're saying, I'll jump to fifth gear to come to CE. And so just no one's at that point. So we knew we needed a stopgap in between as part of that journey, I guess, that pathway from somebody to go from pub quiz to coming on to something like CE. So we wrote this new course, Something Better, which is 4 evenings exploring humanity's pursuit of meaning, satisfaction, identity, and hope, and a chance to discover how Jesus holds out the offer of something better. And we targeted it initially at millennials, so partly because that was just the demographic I was in, and so it was just easier for me to think of it in that category. And the format was super simple, so we tried to keep it to an hour long. It was similar to what you'd expect from a course in the sense of there was like a kind of big theme discussion question to start with. There was me doing a two-part talk. We tried to put in a bit of media content, film, YouTube stuff to engage people with the particular theme. Lots of discussion time and a bit of discussion time, about 15 minutes or so of the hour in a Bible passage. So that would be a kind of a rough structure of the evening. And I'll say more, a bit more about the detail of that in a moment. We ran it in a coffee shop, so neutral venue, which was so much better than running it in the back end of the church hall, which nobody really knew how to get to, and it felt a bit of a kind of like, I've got to go into the church building to get to this. So we ran in Costa, and Costa were brilliant. We deliberately designed it so that it didn't need any leaders training. So I think one of the blockers for something like CE is that you feel like you've got to kind of get all your leaders together beforehand for a whole training evening on how to run a table, which in a busy church calendar is just another evening you're asked people to commit to. So we deliberately designed so you can just rock up with your mate, sit down at a coffee table, be given a booklet and go. So we're trying to normalize sitting in a coffee shop with your friend and having a conversation about Jesus and that being the basis of it. I guess so you're kind of normalizing that kind of one-to-one in a neutral space. And it went really well. So the first couple of sessions we had, I think Pete can probably come to both of them. We had about 40 people coming along to those sessions, the two times we ran it first. which compared to what the numbers we were previously getting was probably double what we were getting. And over half of those were guests. And I think it was something about the venue, like it was just a, it was just where people hang out all the time, like in a coffee shop. So they don't feel weird about saying to their friend, "Oh, I'm meeting Costa at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night." And, you know, yeah, get free coffee as well. So like, just that kind of perk, it helped. But then off the back of that, we then deliberately ran Christiana Explored as the kind of follow-on from that event. So we didn't publicize that we were going to do that, but at the end of the course, I basically said, "Look, we've done this for 4 weeks. It's a four-session course. We've done this for 4 weeks. If you want to explore this further, we're going to run this same time, same place. And we're just going to keep going for the next 6 weeks." And we had about a 60 to 70% retention ratio on Christiana Explored from doing something better, which I think if we just started with Christiana Explored, we wouldn't have had those kind of numbers. So it just helped as an on-ramp to that, because people by that point had got to the end of something better and thought, actually, I think something better probably leaves you thinking, I want this to be true. I'm not quite sure yet if I believe it. I think that's probably where something better leads you. And so it's designed to get to the end point of it. Okay, now I've got to at least explore this further. Hence then Christiana Explored. So that's the point of it. I'll say a bit more on something better in a minute. I mean, just on the name. The name, in hindsight, I do often wonder whether we should change the name, because this is an example of them at the prayer meeting. We did a Merton kind of joint churches prayer meeting for Passion for Life back in February. And dear old David Heath White was presenting, who's down in Morden. And on the big screen behind him in St Andrews, if you know it, he was talking about all the various things that were coming up. And it said on the screen on the PowerPoint, you know, St Lawrence, Morden, Christiana Explored, these dates, some other church. Hope is for these days. They're not a church. Something better. It was just kind of added to the narrative that we didn't really want to play into anyway. So I'm not sure the name necessarily works, but in that context, but you get it. So anyway, we ran that 2019, 2020. And at that point, we're thinking, man, we're really taking off here. Like, this is, the course is getting some traction. And all we talked about, by the way, is something better. So we didn't muddy the waters by giving to church family, we're doing something better this term, and then we're doing Christiana Explored this term, and then we're doing Hope is for this term. We're just trying to keep it simple and just say, we're just doing one. So I'd encourage you in that. Just pick one, whatever it is, and just make all the noise about that and get your church family really confident about that. You can add other courses to it, quite like we did with C, but just do one. 2021, COVID, online lessons, which you have talked about. I think doing it online was good. We had a lot more reach geographically. And, you know, we're able to engage with people. Like the guy from church's mum down in New Forest came to something better, stayed on, did Christian Explored, became Christian at the end. You know, we would never have engaged a lot of other issues down in the New Forest. So just stories like that were a great encouragement. So doing online, and I think we would still consider doing some kind of hybrid going forward, maybe even once a year, providing an online option for, because I think often there are people at church, you know, mum or dad lives out in the sticks in Stafford or something, and they've got no good local church to go to, and they wouldn't know where to recommend. And just to be able to say to them, you know, mum or sister or whatever, do you want to come to this online? So I think doing that kind of thing online is of value going forward. And then present day, we tried Hope Explored in January. I didn't love it. Did you do that one? You honestly could have done this conversation. I didn't love it. I mean, Pete, you can say whether you did or not. Did Hope Explored in January, just as a trial, because I knew it was coming out and I knew lots of other churches were doing it, so I just wanted to assess the content, I guess.
Forgive me, is that meant to be a precursor to Life Explored, or is it after Life Explored?
It's sort of a Life Explored didn't really do what we wanted it to do, let's try something else.
Okay.
Is how Rika would probably put it.
Yeah.
So it's trying to do the same thing, be the on-ramp to see.
Yeah.
So anyway, this last April, this last Easter, just a couple of months ago, we went back to something better for post-mission. We did it in the foyer of our new building, if you've been there. It kind of has the coffee shop vibe anyway, so it lends itself to that. It's very open space, you know, open to the public. So it's still just about works. And all the while, we're still getting people doing Christiana Explored in their homes. So there's a couple at the moment who are doing C with another couple, you know, around the dining room table on Thursday evening. That's just kind of built in now to the DNA of what we're trying to do as a church. So we hardly ever, I think, I can't remember the last time I talked to Open Shane Explored up front at church saying we're doing a CE course. We only ever talk about doing something better. But the CE stuff is there. And if people come to me and say that I want to do something with somebody else, I'll give them the CE material. So I'd use it that way. So consequently, we've got into a rhythm now, as I've been saying, of doing something better. That's our kind of first contact course. That's what we promote after term of the events. And CE is then the next step for those interested in learning more. If we only get a couple of people, then we'll set up one-to-ones. It does mean the whole thing stretches out to about 10 or 11 weeks. But the key thing is that up front, you're only doing 4 weeks, right? So, you know, when you're selling the course, if you like, it's only a four-week commitment. You don't even go near mentioning the fact that there might be a six-week optional extra afterwards because people run away, run a million miles away. But then you've got that in your back pocket.
And then do standalone, as in it's not even a four-week commitment.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's helpful, yeah. So the Something Better sessions, we deliberately call them. I try and avoid using that. I kind of don't really like the word course. We call them the Something Better sessions because they are individual sessions. So you can just turn them to one on identity or on hope. You don't. It's not a kind of run through in quite the same way as something like CE is. So I guess it's like the Something Better sessions. They're like the kind of trial period, kind of trial before you buy. Like you can come along to it and see how you get on. And then if you like it, and if you're starting to be persuaded, then you can stick around for the full package with CE. That's the kind of thing we are doing. Let me just give a very subjective overview of the courses, and then we can discuss them a bit. By the way, I can't comment on Alpha, I've never done it. And also, there are hundreds of courses going on all over the place. Lots of churches will have written their own, so I'm obviously not going to comment on all those. So I'm just going to comment on what's come out of Christianity Explored Ministries. And like I say, I have talked with Rick about this stuff, and so he knows what I think, so I'm not being...
You can edit it out if you want. And I'll name to Alpha if you want.
Let's start with Christianity Explored. And again, this is so subjective, so you'll all have different opinions, but this is my thoughts. I think CE is brilliant for those further down the track, as I've said. The content is clearly trusted content. So often churches will use CE as the kind of like marker of whether you're a decent church or not. We were chatting about this last week. You know, and I've had conversations with Richard about this. You know, it's do they advertise Christianity Explored on their website? It's like, okay, well, you know, they're right to go to. And that would be the kind of guide we give to students going off to uni or whatever it might be. So it sort of functions in that way. So the content is clearly trusted, which is great. It does get people into Mark's gospel. So it's thorough and it's kind of biblical way it leads people into that. And I think perhaps its strength, and having done it with lots of people over the years, it's so good on this, on sin and our need for salvation. So you sort of get to the end of it and people haven't got an option to say, no, I'm all right, thanks. As in that they can say that, but as in they have to argue their case given what's been said. So I think it's really strong on that. And that's obviously where I was supposed to be weak and other areas, but I think it's really, really good on that, which is good. Some weaknesses, perhaps, it's too long, right? It's, for an introductory course, 6-7 weeks is too long, right? When I've run it in the past, kind of before all this stuff, with Something Better, we just found people just switched off. Like after 3 or 4 weeks, you were losing people. So it's too long a commitment for people. The videos are dated. Like it's a bit painful to watch them, if I'm honest. I think they are trying to re-record them in the next couple of years, but they're too dated. And the format is a bit clunky. It's content heavy, so there's a lot. So it's not just in Mark's gospel, they'll dip into the Psalms and Isaiah and other places. So it requires some level of biblical literacy to approach it. Like you can't, I find if you're coming cold to it and never having considered the Bible before, it's quite overwhelming opening up a handbook and thinking, man, kind of this is our direction of travel. And I think it probably asks the wrong questions unless you are actively seeking. So, like I said, this is such a good course for somebody who says, I'm really interested in exploring more of the Christian faith. So, you know, I think, you know, this got sent to it. Great community. But I think for the person who, you know, Joe Brown's out there doing the work on the wall, like, who's never thought about Christianity before, it's probably not the right place for him to begin because it's not scratching the itch that he's got. So that would be my crit of it. So I think there's a place for it. I think don't start with it. Life Explored is visually impressive and it asks the right sort of questions. So when you watch the trailer is really good. And when you watch the trailer, you think, man alive, this course is going to be the course of the end of courses. Like, we're going to be, this is going to tick all our boxes and we're going to see thousands come to faith. And then you try and engage with the content and it feels quite muddled. So I've actually said it's impossible to understand.
I think I know where they blew the budget, if that's what the film is.
As I said, this is subjective. It is complicated. And there is, if you flick through the handbook, there's still a lot of Bible content for what is supposed to be an entry-level course. So this is meant to be the on-ramp for somebody who's never thought about Christianity before. And you flick through the handbook and you think, man, there's still a lot. I've got to flip around between different bits of the Bible. There's quite a lot of that. Obviously, we want to get people into the Bible. I'll say that in a minute, but you know what I mean. And it's still too long for 7 sessions. So when they released it, I can believe that they hadn't reduced the length of the course compared to see. Anyway, that's Life Explored. And by the way, that's not just me saying that. That is general feedback. You know, the guy who's put together what's the concept for Life Explored, I have a chat, and he knows that that's got the feedback. Hope Explored then is short. So that's 3 sessions. So they know that they need to do a short one. They've done 3 sessions. And it addresses, I think, really on-point themes of hope, peace, and purpose. And it goes through Luke's gospel, so it's just clear in one gospel narrative. The weakness is, it's called Hope Explored. I don't know if you thought this, Pete. It's called Hope Explored, but actually only one of the sessions is on hope, and the other 2 are on peace and purpose. I don't really have anything to do with hope. And so I found myself a bit confused in that respect. That's not a deal-breaker, but... The biggest thing for me, I think, was the videos that they've done are just confusing and distracting. So they try to be, it sounds harsher than I'm trying to be, but they try to be clever with the kind of arty nature of the film that's going on in the background. They try and tell a narrative in the background with the film at the same time as Rico is giving his kind of full-blown talk. The trouble is you're trying to work out what's going on with the film in the background. So, for instance, there's a bit where Rico's sat on an ambulance and this patient is being lifted up. And Rico's sort of breaking the fourth wall or whatever it is and, like, engaging with the ambulance driver whilst at the same time talking to me and giving me an actual talk. And so I'm trying to work out what is him talking to the ambulance driver got to do with this point in the talk, and it's that you can't work out. And it's almost like you've got to see the whole film and then think about the talk. And then you need a 10-minute discussion in a group to work out what was going on. It is a bit like that. Which is a shame. So, and the trouble is, as good as the content might be, you get to the end of it and you think, well, I don't want to use this because it's just too confusing for people. And simplicity is key in this, I think. And that's where C, to be fair, is good, because it's just Rico standing wherever it is, it's a horse, probably, with a black background, just speaking. And they do a cutaway scene to the beach, whatever it might be, but it's just a clear talk. So, don't be too clever with it, would be my life. So that's Hope Explored. And then something better. This is the one we've written, and I will give some weaknesses as well, but obviously this is biased. So we've deliberately designed to be a kind of simple format that you don't need any training, as I've said, trying to engage 21st century people with 21st century questions. It does assume biblical illiteracy. So if the session is an hour long, the first 25 minutes, we don't look at anything in the Bible. We're teeing up the theme, and there's a 15-minute talk, which is just setting up the issue. So take satisfaction, for instance. It's a classic kind of idolatry talk where you're getting everyone in the room nodding along and saying, yeah, of course I want to be satisfied. That's your first 7 minutes you talk, 5 minutes you talk. And the next 5 minutes of the talk is smashing down the idol and showing them how all the search for satisfaction are leading to nothing. And they're all kind of nodding like, yeah, that's true as well. And by that point, then you start to turn to Jesus, but you've already got them on board with the way you've approached the talk. So it's less Bible content probably, but you're not stripping it of the Bible, obviously, for obvious reasons. Weaknesses. It's not the full package. So as I've said, I wouldn't encourage somebody to just do something better in their kind of course program. I encourage them to do this plus C or this plus, you know, decently structured one-to-one program or this plus whatever it might be. This is the on-ramp to something else. I don't think anyone's done something better and got converted just from doing something better. So I think it's the entry point to try and engage people at, you know, it's the kind of 0 to 1 that I was talking about. Other weaknesses, I think probably the more I do it, the more I think I'm just doing the same talk 4 times. I mean, you do you have any point on that, Pete? Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, I guess kind of, but also, as in, if idolatry is a hard sin.
Yeah. It feels like it's got to the point now, I haven't done it a lot, where you get to hope, which is the 4th one. And I feel like I am sort of saying the same thing from a slightly different angle. But then that's okay, because for lots of people who are here for the first time engaging with this, we're just trying to reiterate the same thing from the point of satisfaction or identity or meaning or hope. So, yeah, that would be a potential weakness. And there's no, I don't, at the moment, we don't really have a call to response. In the back of the booklet, I'll show you what it looks like in a minute, there is a prayer at the back that we put in terms of a prayer response. But we don't really go big on it in the way the CE does. I think because we see it as a sort of entry point. That's certainly better. Let me.
Can I ask?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So, do you, same gospel? No. So.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Has Tim Keller been a big influence for you in your thinking?
Yeah. So this is birthed out of Making Sense of God, which is his follow-up to a recent book which he wrote 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And I read it in college and I thought, I was like, man, this is where, it feels like where people are at in terms of certainly my generation. And but I couldn't see a course that engaged with that book. So that's what it is. So yeah, there's lots of, I've gradually reduced the Kellerisms from it to try and avoid too much by way of plagiarism, but it's definitely influenced. But yeah.
So it is an on-ramp, but yes. do you get within it sort of sin, what sin is, judgment?
Yeah, which
Jesus' identity.
Yes. So
activity.
The first one would we go to John 6 in satisfaction. Second one, we're in Mark 15, as in, so we're doing the Gospels. I think on sin, we're probably a bit one-dimensional in that we mentioned about idolatry. So we talk about that being, and I don't think you want to say that is the sole definition of what sin is, but that's the angle that we go down with trying to explain it to people in terms of turning away from the creator to greater things, and those have been the things that we seek to find satisfaction and seek in hope in, and then they fail us and we don't, etc. So, and we use the language of sin to explain what that is. We're probably light on judgment, as in we don't talk about judgment. I wouldn't say we talk about judgment verbally, we talk about being separated from God and cut off from him, and that being a consequence of our idolatry. But like I've said, I think the danger in our constituency is that we think we've got to say everything at every session all the time. And I want to be really clear that this isn't setting out to be the one-stop shop for bringing someone into, you know, understanding a full-blown package of Christianity. This is just the door, the entry point to get people, you know, to begin thinking about it.
What are the videos like?
Just these really confusing films. Well, I don't know if it sounds.
You haven't got videos.
We don't. I've got. Let me show you the trailer.